Sweet. So how are you guys doing? You guys sound a little more alive than the last service. But just so we all get stretched out and stuff, why don't we stand up, take a stretch, go ahead and get out of that seat for a little bit, do a couple stretches, you know, a little wake up. Sweet. And then once you guys are done, you can turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 6. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10. While we're doing that, I'll pray. God, I thank you so much for bringing us here today, Lord. I pray that as we look into your word and study, God, I pray that you'd speak through me. I pray that we leave here changed and excited to serve you, God. Lord, please bless this time, and I pray that we just have a great time studying your word. Amen. So I've entitled this message today, Who Said Life Was Easy? You guys ever been doing something and someone says, you're like complaining about something, man, this is so hard. And someone's like, well, who said life was easy? So has anyone ever said that to you? I know it's been said to me before. But we're going to be looking at, like I said, 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10. And let's go ahead and read that. We'll read it through once. Then it says, We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God. In much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. So this is Paul. He's writing this to the Corinthians. Hence 2 Corinthians. This is his second book he's written to this church in Corinth. And Paul was a guy who would go around and he basically planted churches in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. You guys know some of the books in the New Testament. Those are all places where he helped plant churches. And so he would write them letters to encourage them. And if he heard news of something that was going on there, he'd write these letters to kind of show him the way or help him understand things. And God used this man, Paul, in a great way. So let's go ahead and let's read verses 1 and 2. And it says, We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So he says, he pleads with them not to take the grace of God in vain. So what he's saying is, he heard news that some of the believers in Corinth were maybe just kind of living out the Christian life, not really living it for God, but they were kind of just doing the role, had people thinking that they were a Christian, you know, doing the Christian thing, going through the motions. Maybe you know people like this who go to church but aren't really living for God. Maybe they act like a Christian around church, around their friends, around other Christians they're a Christian. But when it comes to time at school or around other friends, they're just kind of this person who's like completely different. At one point in time, they're this Christian sold out for God, so everyone thinks. And then at another point in time, they're this person who could care less about God. If you ask them they're a Christian, they say, What, a Christian? Do you guys know people like that? So he's kind of concerned that there's maybe these types of people in this church. And so he's pleading with them, Please don't take the grace of God in vain. Don't take it if you're not going to do anything. I heard a story about a girl who was at church, and she was interested in accepting Christ. She had heard the pastor's sermon, and She realized her need. But she went up and talked to him, and as she was talking, she was just not really sure that she wanted to accept Christ today. So the pastor said, all right, well, just in an effort to reach her, he said, okay, well, will you sign this paper saying that you won't accept Christ for 1 year? She said, no, because she's obviously, I don't want to sign that, because she's starting to realize her need. Then he says, okay, well, what about we sign it for a month, saying you won't accept Christ for a month? No. He says, for a week. She says, no. So she realized her need for a Savior at that moment. Bible says, like we read, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Bible also says that no, he promises no man tomorrow. So we don't know what's going to happen later on. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know when Christ is coming back. So we need to be living our lives out completely for him daily. So if there's some of you who in here that are just kind of like, well, I'm not sure if the whole Jesus thing's for me right now. I mean, I kind of believe, but I'm just not sure. I'll do it another time. I want to do some things before I accept Christ and commit to changing my life. But the Bible says today is the day, because you're not promised tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But maybe for some of you, you guys are the believers who are sold out, who are doing good. You're not playing the role. You're coming to church and you're having your own studies. You're reading the Bible. You're in the Word and you're growing. I found this cool quote. It's from Theodore Roosevelt, one of our past presidents, and he says, "We have got but one life here. It pays, no matter what comes after it, to try and to do things, to accomplish things in this life, and not merely to have a soft and pleasant time." So we only have one life to live here. Let's give it to God. Let's do all we can for God. And that's kind of what Paul's urging the Corinthians to do. Man, if you're abusing God's grace, you really got to learn to love God and see how great it is with him, because today is the day of salvation. An acceptable time, it says, he's made a way. He's made a way for us all to escape, to be forgiven for our sins and to escape that punishment. But we will look at what Paul has been going through and the battle he waged as a believer, what he's gone through, what he's going through. So you guys who are maybe considering accepting Christ, or maybe you're a Christian and you're just like, you're going through hard times and you're like, this isn't what I signed up for. I thought being a Christian was going to be this easy thing, like skipping it through the park or whatever. That's not what it is. And so Paul, he talks about all the things he went through. So we'll go ahead and look at that. Let's look at verses 3-5. "We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in need, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings." So he lists all these things that he's kind of going through. He's saying to the Corinthians, this is kind of what I've been going through. These are some things that I've dealt with in my efforts to plant churches and to reach you guys and to impact your lives. So he says he didn't want to have a bad reputation on his ministry. "We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed." So what he's saying is they don't want to offend anyone or be hypocritical in any way, so that people are like, man, those Christians, they're just hypocrites. They say one thing but do another. And that's not what Paul wants to do. Have you guys ever gone on like a Velocity trip, maybe to Lone Tree or the Peak or anything? Is there some of you guys in here gone on those? Maybe you guys will remember that Kevin will often get up and he'll say, "All right, guys, before we go into this restaurant or wherever we go into the hotel, remember that we represent Christ," right? Do you guys remember him saying that before? "Remember that we represent Christ as we go in here." So for us as believers, we represent Christ wherever we go. And if we're claiming to be a Christian, but we're acting one way in a place, and that that one moment that people see us and know we're Christians and we're not acting like a Christian can blow it for them. Then they'll say, I've seen a Christian. They're nothing different than what I am. Why would I change? Right? Listen to this. The reputation of 1,000 years may be determined by the conduct of 1 hour. So it's basically like first impressions, right? If you guys ever met someone who was having a bad day that day that you met them, and so they're like grumpy and like just angry, and so from the rest of the time you know that person, you're kind of just like, man, that guy's grumpy. He was grumpy that one day, right? And so now your view of him may be a grumpy person or like an angry person, but he was just having a bad day that one day, right? So for us, as Christians, people might see us at a moment when we're not representing Christ in the right way, and that's the view people get of us, as this person who's no different than I am, right? I don't see anything different. They're acting the same way I would. So it's important for us to, as believers, always be acting like Christ and representing Christ in every way. That way, no one is turned away from our ministry. No one is offended by us in our ministry. So we'll look at some of the trials Paul's encountered. He listed them for us, and now we'll look at some of them. He says, in tribulations. So Paul says, in tribulations, these are some of the things I've gone through. Tribulations meaning that he's just had great troubles. Have you guys ever had a hard time just accomplishing a task? Just everything seems to go wrong. That's kind of what tribulations is for Paul. He's been trying, but nothing seems to be going right. In tribulations, he says, in needs. We all have needs, right? Whether it be deodorant. Some of you dudes need deodorant, right? I know I do. Hey. But he says in needs. So we all have needs, whether it be financial needs or food or whatever. Paul had his needs too, physical needs. Just like everybody else, Paul had to eat. He had to work to support himself while he's doing ministry. He built tents to support himself. That way he wasn't an extra burden on the church that he was serving. So we all have needs. Paul had his needs, and he mentions them. So he must have been having a hard time with needs. He says in distresses, meaning like anxiety or sorrow. Have you guys ever like done something bad maybe, or like someone's angry at you and you're like don't want to go talk to them, and so you're kind of like anxious, like, are they going to come talk to me? Please don't come talk to me. Please don't. Or like something bad happened and you're just kind of bummed out about it. Like, what's going to happen with this? I don't know what's going to happen. And so you're just kind of waiting to see what unravels and happens, right? So Paul had distresses. He also mentions in stripes. Now Paul, he would go preach in places. And oftentimes he would end up getting beat for it. Not like beat like a competition, but he would end up getting beat and whipped and stuff. And so he mentions this. This was one thing he went through. And it was an easy thing for me. It'd be hard to get beat and represent Christ, right? Get beat for preaching the gospel. It's a pretty hard thing to deal with. And imprisonments. Many of Paul's letters that he writes in the New Testament, like I mentioned, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and more, some of those he's actually writing from prison, writing to the other churches. He's been imprisoned for preaching the gospel, imprisoned for doing good. Now, for some of us, or all of us, we don't really have that problem, right? We aren't going to get imprisoned for preaching the gospel, right? But in some countries, like China, or a communist country, where they can't have the Bible, or they can't read it openly, they don't have that freedom just to read the Bible. Christians are getting placed in prison. That may be something for you guys to think about, that challenge and as being a Christian. Maybe someday you'll be faced with that. Man, I can't read my Bible, and if I do, I'll go to prison. That may be something we end up facing someday. In tumults. Now, when I read this, I was like, tumults? What is that? All I could think of was like, I was like, is that like some sort of tent or something? What is a tumult? But a tumult is like a riot, a loud crowd. So Paul would be preaching and a riot would come angry at Paul because what he's preaching. And so he faced that in his ministry. In labors. Paul labored. He worked. He built tents. He carried the load of his ministry. Have you guys ever just done something hard? Maybe your mom makes you pull weeds or whatever. But you labor and it's hard and it's difficult. And you struggle maybe with school. Maybe there's a certain subject that you're just like, man, this subject is hard. And you just persevere through it. Paul's dealing with that. In sleeplessness, he would oftentimes go without sleep in order to study and learn more. And I know for me, I was up late studying last night, but I did get some sleep. But how often is it that we go sleepless to study God's word, right? It's not very often. I know it's not for me. But I know for sometimes, there's been times where I had this project due for school, and I stayed up all night to finish my project. But there's often times where I should be reading my Bible, but it's not often that I stay up to read my Bible and go sleepless to read my Bible. Now, Paul didn't have insomnia. He just went sleepless. He chose to go sleepless in order to show more devotion to God. In fastings, this is doing without food in order to seek God. So some people, they'll not eat for numerous days. And like, I know some people who will not eat at a meal and just go pray and seek the Lord. And oftentimes people do it when they're looking for an answer about something. They'll seek the Lord by fasting. Now, Paul, he lists all these trials that he's gone through. And how does this relate to us? Maybe you're not going through the exact same trials that Paul went through. Maybe for some of you, it's your parents are splitting up or they have split up. Or maybe there's been a death in your family. Or maybe for some of you, you're nervous about going to a new school or whatever. Or you're having a rough time with one of your friends. So we all have different trials. I don't know what yours are. But we've all had problems. We all have problems and things that are going on in our life. But God's always right there with us. I found an interesting story. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problem began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang. She turned to pick it up. She'd barely said hello when Chippy got sucked up. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced him to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. This poor bird. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who'd initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she replied, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. It's hard not to see why. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That's enough to steal the song from the stoutest heart. Have you guys ever felt like just kind of sucked in, washed up, and blown over in life? You're having a hard time. You're struggling with stuff, and you're like, God, where are you? Well, just like in that song we sang, oh no, you never let go. Through the calms and through the storms, every high and every low, God never lets go. Whatever you're going through, whatever problems you have, He never lets go. He's always right there with you. So now we can look at some of the weapons Paul used. They may not be the most extravagant weapons, but they're really practical, we'll find out. Let's look at verses 6 through 8. By purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. We'll stop there. One second, let me get a drink of water. Now, these are not your typical battle weapons that Paul has, but like I said, they are practical. Now, you guys can think about what are some weapons you use to get through your trials and your problems? What are some things you do? Paul will share with us what he went through. But before we do, I found an interesting story about what a shopkeeper did. A U.S. shopkeeper has been warned that he could be jailed for his unusual way of dealing with shoplifters. Colorado off-license owner Gabe Fandik told thieves he'd call the police unless they gave him one of their shoes. But police told him his punishment counted as robbery, whereas shoplifting was merely a misdemeanor. Mr. Fandik of Durango says he was losing $500 a month, and the police were doing little to prevent shoplifters from targeting his shop. "I give them the choice," I say. "I'm either going to call the cops or you give me one of your shoes," Mr. Fandik told the Durango Herald. "They're too humiliated to come back and ask for their shoe. That also means they won't steal again." But Durango Police Captain Mickey Browning said, "I would suggest that he find a different option that doesn't involve giving up property. What's the difference between him saying, 'Give me 20 bucks and I won't call the police,' or 'Give me your shoe?'" So this guy had a pretty funny way of dealing with shoplifters. So they'd come in, steal something. I guess he would corner him somehow, and he'd say, "Give me your shoe or I'm calling the cops." I think I'd rather call the cops and get my stuff back rather than just have some guy's shoe. But he had an interesting way of dealing with his problems that didn't really work out too good for him. Now we can look at what Paul used to fight his battles. We said by purity. Paul remained pure. He sought the Lord. Whether it's be physically pure and spiritually pure, he was focused on the Lord. Maybe for some of you guys, that's an area that you struggle with. How to be pure. Maybe you're having trouble in a relationship or whatever. I'd encourage you guys tonight to come check out the O2 experience. You guys will learn a lot about that. Purity, how to remain pure in this world we live in. Because it's all around us, right? The sexual stuff is all around us. And it's hard, right? It's hard to remain pure. By knowledge. Everywhere Paul went, he tried to gain knowledge about what was going on. He was interested in Corinth and what was happening there. And so by gaining knowledge and from the scriptures or wherever, that was one way he would fight his battles, to fight his trials, by having knowledge about things. By kindness. As believers, one of the great opportunities we have to be a light to people is just simply by being kind. You guys may not know it, but just by helping someone across the street or whatever it may be, mowing your neighbor's lawn or taking out the trash for your parents or whatever it is, or buying someone a drink, that can be a great thing that kind of makes them say, "Wow, this person's different. I wonder, what do they have?" You know, people will notice things in you when you're acting kind and you're doing acts of kindness. And they'll see the light that's in you. They'll see Christ shining through you and may end up wanting to have what you have. So that's a great opportunity for you guys to share Christ. By sincere love. Paul had been doing what he was encouraging the Corinthians to do earlier in the chapter. Remember, some of them were abusing God's grace, not really seeking God wholeheartedly. They were just kind of doing the Christian thing. He was sincere in his relationship with God. He loved God. He was passionate about it. This is what he did. This is who he was. So I'd encourage you guys, if you're not completely sincere with God, how can you expect him to help you with your problems? By the word of truth. Paul was reading scriptures. He was constantly learning. He was focused on God. By reading scriptures, he would learn more and be able to share more with the places and people he saw. He says, by the armor of God on the right hand and on the left. You guys, if you want to look at the whole armor of God and what that all entailed, you can look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. And that goes throughout, that tells you all the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. So he put on the right hand and on the left. Now in ancient days, a soldier would have a spear in his right hand and a shield in his left. So Paul, he was talking about putting on spiritual armor, being prepared for battle. He goes on to say, by honor and dishonor. Whether Paul was going to be lifted up for what he did, his accomplishments, or whether he was just going to be thrown to the side and cast aside, he was still going to serve God no matter what. Whether it was he was going to be looked at lowly or praised for what he'd done, it didn't matter. He was still going to serve God either way. By evil report or good report. So kind of similar to the other one. Whether people criticized Paul for what he was doing and what went on, or whether he did great things, either way, he was still going to serve God. Now again, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your problems are. But Paul showed us some really basic ways to get through our trials. We all have trials that we go through where God tests us but we grow through it. And I'd encourage you guys just to remain faithful. Do what Paul is doing. Be sincere in your relationship with God. Draw close to God and He'll draw closer to you. Let's look at verses 9 through 10. We'll start at the tail end of verse 8. As deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Oh. My throat's drying up. So Paul gained this reputation among believers and non-believers as this guy who was going around preaching the word. And so some people viewed Paul as this deceitful guy who's preaching heresy, doing the wrong things. Maybe the scribes and Pharisees viewed Paul this way. He's not doing good. He's wrong. Don't listen to him. People hated him because of that. But to believers, Paul was this guy who was preaching the truth. He knew the truth. He shared the truth. He lived the truth. As unknown yet well known. Now this wasn't some popularity contest that Paul had, but it was more so how people liked him. Some people liked Paul because he was preaching the truth. He was doing great things. He was known to them. But to some, he was like, Paul, this guy who walks around doing nothing, right? He wasn't well known to those people. Is dying yet living? So Paul, to some, may be viewed it as this guy who's doing nothing with his life. To some, maybe for some of you guys, you're a Christian and people are like, dude, what are you doing? What does that even mean? You're not going anywhere with that. Nothing's happening with it. So I could see some people viewing Paul as just dying. He's just living his life, not really doing anything all that great. But to some, to believers, Paul's this great guy who's living his life. He's living it. He's living it the only way, the best way. He's living his life as a believer. He goes on to say, it's chastened yet not killed. Remember Paul talking about his stripes and imprisonments? He was beaten and stuff. But he looked at it as, hey, I'm not dead. I'm alive. I'm doing good. But some look at it as, there goes Paul, the guy who always gets beat or whatever, you know? As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Some might have viewed him as this measly guy who, like I said, wasn't really amounting to much, didn't really do much. But for some, or even Paul himself, was always rejoicing because he had a hope. He had a hope. As poor, yet making many rich. Like I said, Paul was a tent maker. That's how he provided for himself. That's how he lived. That's how he got from place to place, making tents. Probably wasn't making a ton of money. Churches weren't supporting him because he didn't want to be that burden on the churches. But he was making many rich by what he was doing, going around preaching. Many were coming to know Christ because of this man. Churches were being planted. He was making many rich, not physically and with actual money, but spiritually. Because now these people had a hope. They had the hope of going to heaven and seeing God, and they realized their need for a Savior. Having nothing, yet possessing all things. So Paul may have not had very much in this life. He may have just been poor Paul. But to him and to believers, Paul had it all. Because he was living for Christ. He was seeking the Lord wholeheartedly. He wasn't abusing the grace of God. He possessed it all. So Paul's been trying to get the Corinthians to see that, hey, I went through all this. I went through all this so that you guys might see that this is really, it's worth it. I went through all this. God got me through all this. And I have a hope. Maybe there's some of you guys in here who aren't believers. Maybe you're just abusing God's grace, just kind of doing the Christian thing. Maybe there's some of you who were Christians but have kind of fallen away and aren't really living the Christian life, kind of forgot about God and what he's gotten you through. Maybe there's some of you who are going through all kinds of trials. God's testing your faith. And you're just like, God, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I was told I would get. It's hard times. I thought this was going to be easy. I thought you were going to be there for me. He is there for you. But the question is, are you seeking him with your whole heart? Because he's right there. He's right in front of you. But you have to seek him wholeheartedly. So whoever said life was easy was wrong, right? We've all heard that phrase, who said life was easy? I'll tell you this much. Dying on the cross wasn't an easy thing. Coming down from heaven and taking on the flesh wasn't an easy thing. Sure, raising out of the grave wasn't an easy thing. But he did it, right? And he did it for you and me. He died on that cross for you and me. So maybe for those of you who are believers and you're just going through a lot, remain faithful to God. And he'll be faithful to you. Seek him. But for those of you who maybe aren't sure about this whole Christian thing, there's only two choices. You can either live for God and he'll carry you through all your problems and you'll have a hope, or you can try to do things on your own, look to the world for help, try to do things on your own and not really know what's going to happen to you, not really know where you're going in life or what's going to happen. But whatever it is you choose, I hope that you make the right decision, and if you need to, there's leaders all around. So as we play this last song of worship here in a minute, if you need to, you can come talk to the leader or even talk to us after, and we'll pray with you or whatever you're going through. We're here for you, and God's right beside you. Seek him, and he'll show you the way. So as Chris comes up, we'll sing this song, and I'll pray.